I don't know what was the matter last week, but this time it came right up. Yeah, put some airplanes on there every weekend.
Is that the two natures there represented?
Yeah, right. You got an F-15 in the back, an F-18 in the middle, and an old F-4U up front. Only about 60 years apart. The Gullwing, yeah, the F-4U, yeah. That was the one the Marines flew back during the First World War, or Second World War.
Is one plane?
No, there's two planes here. This one's an F-18, that's an F-15. An Eagle. Yeah, they do.
So that's not an extended cap.
They're both made by McDonnell Douglas. So. This what? Now, the last project I worked on at the test center was the design for the F-18. The last time I went to McDonnell Douglas, they were just in a mock-up stage. And that's already on it. It's about a third or fourth iteration, and it's on its way out. So it's old. I tell you how long. I left there in 78, December 78. But anyway, I like that. I got a whole bunch of those. Even got some of my old squadron planes I found. On the internet. Yeah.
Planes that you...
No. I just found the pictures. I like those old, the old birds. But anyway, we need to get rolling here. We got a lot to do. Hopefully, we can muddle through again. We're working on our study of the brain-soul complex, of course, which is going to require some concentration. We're covering a lot of new material, new things that you haven't probably thought of before, pulling together the relationships and trying to get to how everything is integrated. And so that when we come to Scripture, instead of just saying, oh, this is, you know, some nebulous platitude, we know what's going on, and makes a world of difference. But before we do, let's go to the throne of grace in prayer, and let's begin. Father, we're thankful that we do have the privilege of coming together tonight and being challenged as we look at these things related to the brain soul and how everything that you have designed and put things together. And we just thank you for the fact that you have made us, created us in your image. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we just pray that we would come to grips with all these new things that we're looking at. And it's going to take some focus on our part. We may have to go over things more than once to get everything laid out. But we just pray that when we get to the bottom line, we get to the end, and we've come through this, that we'll see how everything integrates and fits together, and we'll be advanced in our spiritual understanding of where we're at and how we relate to you. And we just give you the praise and the glory for that opportunity that we have today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the first lesson, we looked at some things related to overview of the, call it the notes on the brain, but it was basically dealing with major parts and functions of some of the aspects of the brain. the thing that we should have had last week towards the end of the study, we didn't have, and that's the diagram that you've got on the back of your papers, your notes today, because that shows you the spiritual side of things, which we will get into in some detail tonight. And then last week, before we had to take a hiatus, although we didn't have a hiatus on Wednesday nights, anyway, we looked at the overview, just kind of an overview of the brain-soul complex, the various parts. We looked at some things related to the sin nature, the brain itself, the soul, the human spirit, how they interact and integrate it. And before we're through, we're just hardly, you know, skimmed the surface on that. We just barely touched on that stuff, but just to give you, and if you didn't get last week's lesson, then tonight you're going to be lost. But anyway, and tonight we start breaking down the real you, and that's the soul. The real you is the soul. In fact, we're going to find that the soul is the programmer of the brain computer, ultimately. We haven't got there yet, but we'll get there. The soul is the programmer. And it's kind of neat. Anyway, there we start with our diagram. See this whole side. What you get? We got the soul up here. You got your analysis center, the thing where you do your thinking, the viewpoint. You know, everything's brought in there. Now, it either gets there one of two ways. Notice you've got two paths here. And I should have made the natural path more pronounced than I did. And that's over here on the left side, right here. You see, you come, both of them come out of the gray matter here of the brain stem, the higher brain stem. Because that, whoops, back up, dude. Come on. There we go. That's where you get all the integration, all the lines, connections to all the various neurons and all the things that we saw in the brain, and where everything is stored. And so that's the spot of input right there at the, there it is, right there. Right there. So if, for the unbeliever, all the input, all the data that's stored here coming out through this route to the analysis center of the soul right there for thinking, for viewpoint, makes a decision, back it goes, stored wherever, okay? Now, for the believer, we've got, when we're empowered by God, the Holy Spirit, we've got a whole different route here. The human spirit provides what I refer to as the spiritual brainstem, doing the integration and making sure that what's coming up and into the analysis into the soul is what we saw in 1 Peter a couple of studies back. Clear, sound thinking, clear readouts. And you'll get that term readouts because that's what you get out of computers. You put data in, you get readouts back out of it. But hopefully, what you put in, you get back out. The problem is, if the sin nature rules, you don't get out a clear readout of the truth that you've stored there. It's going to be twisted. It's going to be distorted. And you end up, see, the thing is, we saw in James 1, 21, 22, that aspect of we're self-deception. We can con ourselves into thinking black is white and white is black, basically. But anyway. Okay, now. The real you. We have to recognize there must be a distinction made between the material brain process and the living soul. What goes on in the brain is totally separate from what goes on in the soul, in other words. And it's not material, the soul aspect. We're going to see that there is some form of electrical energy that's there, some higher level of energy, that they recognize it, but they don't know what it is. They haven't been able to categorize it yet. The brain, as we have noted, is made up of various physiochemical components. The balance of those components is crucial. The balance, the various chemicals that make up that process of data going back and forth between all those axons and that we saw in the diagrams last couple of weeks. If that gets out of whack, things don't work right. Memory recall is gone. And there's all kinds of impact. That balance of those components is crucial for the brain's proper function. Okay? The living soul now is a substance, but far different, and more than just its constituent neurochemical and physiochemical elements in the brain. It has those kind of elements too. The brain is made up of a material substance, while the soul is made up of this higher electrical energy, not yet categorized by the physicists or the neurosurgeons, those that do the research, and yet it's a very real substance. But they haven't been able to categorize it yet. At least I haven't found any reference to that yet. The brain with its computer-like function is either the ruler of the soul. Have you ever heard that before? Or is ruled by the soul through the function of one's volition. That's what changes the switch. If you look at your diagram, you got your kind of, I threw one in every now and then, but down there below the analysis center of the soul, you got that volition. A little minus and a little plus there. Either negative or positive. You choose which is whether the sin nature rules, whether you're using the natural route or you're using the spiritual route. You choose. And that's what I'm talking about. And it really says, okay, is the soul being ruled by the brain or the brain being ruled by the soul? Being a part of the body of corruption, or as we're going to see in Romans 6:6, I think it is, it's referred to as the body of sin, containing the sin nature, the brain computer has excellent opportunity to perpetuate on the soul inaccurate and twisted concepts that may be stored there. Oh my goodness. I thought we were in Miami, Florida there for a minute. It was just, I've got it set on 70. That's going right on up to. Yeah. Oh well. Okay. Don't need that. Okay. So when a sin nature rules, it twists, it distorts, gives inaccurate readouts, okay? Principle. The brain computer has a natural tendency to record and feed out the knowledge of good and evil. I mean, you can find that all the way back in Genesis 3. And an unnatural tendency in that it will not handle divine viewpoint of its own initiative. It always twists and distorts it. That's why we need that spiritual side of things, the spiritual brainstem operating. Otherwise, we're not going to advance spiritually at all. That's where a lot of believers in these diaper churches are going nowhere. And never will go anywhere. Fifth thing here. Only the soul overruling the brain computer and programming the brain with doctrine, with truth, when they're being taught, will ever convert it from a storage bank of the knowledge of good and evil to the storage bank of doctrine, or the frame of reference of truth, as I usually refer to it as. Either way. But the soul overruling the brain computer, in other words, God the Holy Spirit empowering, as we're going to see as we progress through here. You got one step at a time here. And we have to recognize, we're given the wherewithal to make this happen by grace. By grace. And this is where, you know, Paul talks about the renewing of the mind. Building that frame of reference of truth is so needed, so necessary, absolutely crucial for going anywhere spiritually. And even then, with doctrine stored in the interpretive cortex, that's the main part of the brain, the interpretive cortex, through the brainstem, which is the feeder stem, the readout stem, if you will, in and out, will distort doctrine, give the soul an inaccurate readout apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So you got that whole middle section there of the higher brainstem, the gray matter there, which provides the integration into the interpretive cortex with all the various thousands and thousands and thousands of little lines running out there to carry the data in and out. It's right there where things get twisted up and distorted. So you have both the natural side and the spiritual path. Both sides. The key is we always, as believers, want to be operating with the spiritual side functioning. I mean, that's the objective, right? That's the objective. Under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells the body with the sin nature, takes control of the computer and imposes on it, or plugs, I don't know really how to word that, because it either imposes on it or plugs into a supernatural circuitry. I refer to it as a grace bypass, if you will, spiritual brainstem, through which clear and non-contaminated or distorted doctrine can travel to the analysis center of the soul. So you've got that, and it's whether that's operating or not is tied to the ministry of God and Holy Spirit. And we'll look at it later, but, you know, what's the key there? Is he quenched or grieved? If he is, that's not operating. You're back working through the natural side. Okay? It's that simple. And, of course, you're not walking by the Spirit anymore. Same thing. Okay? For the believer, what we have to recognize is that there are two late residents of the body. Late residents. In other words, they were not present. By late, I'm referring to that they were not present when God created man in his image. Okay? They came later. They came at the fall. The sin nature did. And of course, the indwelling Holy Spirit comes at salvation. But we have two late residents. Okay? Sin nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Crucial. Now, during the Old Testament period and before, he didn't indwell, but he was beside, operating with them, and really, in a lot of ways, providing the same kind of function with the truth, but he didn't indwell them. So I just threw that back up there at this point to make sure we got this, that only operative when God, the Holy Spirit, is empowering the individual, your life, okay? Otherwise, you're tied back to this natural path, the natural route of information in and out. In fact, it's doesn't really indicate it that way, either one of them, but it's a two-way street. It's in and out, both ways, okay? The data's going both ways in those, okay? And all the storage of the data, the frame of reference, is up here in this area. Now, what's interesting, I ran across yesterday or day before, anyway, you got basically, you got two sides to the brain here. And the corpus callosum up here in the middle, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Right here in the middle. This is kind of the gateway for the information going back and forth from one side to the other. But what's interesting is that the right side of the brain, there's very little stored there after the age of 5. Very little stored there after the age of 5. So we don't use that very much. I don't know why. They didn't give an explanation, just made a statement. The sin nature being part of the genetic engineering of each cell. Remember that the sin nature is a part of the flesh. It's part of the body. It is a part of each cell, okay? Including the brain, rules the body in such a way that its trends are all naturally away from the policy of God or divine viewpoint. I mean, that just goes without saying. But it's part of the genetic engineering of each cell. Now, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has no effect on this rule of the sin nature except under the conditions of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we've always got the Holy Spirit indwelling us to the point of salvation. But unless He is not quenched or grieved and is empowering, then that sin nature is ruling. So they're tied together. We need to pull that together in our thinking to make sure we understand it. We have got to ensure that He is in fact empowering our life. And I use the BHS, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, breaks the power of sin, the sin nature, over the body positionally. That happens when we're the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we're entered into union with Christ, when we're identified with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. It's a whole different ballgame from that point on. But it breaks the power of the sin nature positionally. Okay, this is what we're going to see in Romans chapter 6 again. Now, but the second point here, the EHS, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, breaks the power of the sin nature over the body experientially. And it's really the empowering of the Holy Spirit utilizing the truth that you've stored in that frame of reference of truth as you apply and will walk by the Spirit, walking by that truth that you know, walking worthy. All comes together there. Okay? Now, we've studied this passage many times, Ephesians 5:18. It's a passage where a lot of people over the decades, beginning with Bill Bright and some of his stuff that he put out, kind of hung the whole Christian life on this verse right here. But he had a wrong understanding of what it meant by being filled by the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for it is dissipation, but be filled, and it is translated, filled with the Spirit. But we know, we went through all this, that it's filled by the Spirit. And we went through and studied all the various usages in the of the Greek there, and it really makes a world of difference. It is through the fulfillment of this command that the believer realizes the influence and enablement of empowerment to live the Christian way of life, when we rightly understand what 5:18 is talking about, to actually reflect the character of Christ in their life. Being filled by the Spirit is the agent of the filling, not the content of the filling. And this is one of the things I got in an interesting debate with Ron Merriman years ago. And he kept wanting to say, no, you know, you can go to these passages. You're filled with anger. You're filled with joy. You're filled with this and filled with that. This is talking about control. I says, no, Ron. You look at those passages. All those places it's talking about, because I'd already looked. They're all in the genitive case, which is the content of the filling, which is right. No problem. But you don't have that here. So you can't read that in here because it's dative. It's the agent. And he doesn't tell us in 5:18 what we're filled with. But we know from our study and also the parallel passage in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within. And then it goes on because both passages have the same indicators following for the what demonstrates this ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life. But anyway, I don't know if you ever caught on or not or what. But if we're to realize the power that we should have, and that was one of the things that, you know, Paul stressed over and over again in Ephesians, from chapter 1 all the way through. And he didn't define in there and explain it because, in that passage, because he's already been explaining what they were to be filled with. They're filled with truth, you know, so that the character of Christ can be demonstrated or in the life. But anyway. See, the plero is the verb there. It's present passive imperative. The present tense there is what he referred to as a customary present. In other words, it means it's an ongoing, it's to be an ongoing condition in the life. It's not just something that's here, there, once in a while. It's to be the pattern of the life. Customary for the believer. To be keep on filling with truth your soul. Store that up so that you've got it. Holy Spirit's got something to work with. So you know. But anyway. What this involves is a setting aside of the ruling power and influence of the sin nature, which is genetically engineered into the brainstem and brain as well as every cell in the body. Now, for the Holy Spirit to fill the individual with truth so they can reflect the character of Christ, that's what we're talking about here under point 2. Setting aside of the ruling power and influence of the sin nature, which is genetically engineered into the brainstem and brain as well as in every cell of the body. Okay? But what else is resident throughout the body? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit fully influences by plugging in a new spiritual brainstem, i.e., the human spirit. Now, how much over the years do you ever really hear about the human spirit in the sense of what it's used biblically? You got the human spirit, you know, the readout of the age or that kind of thing. But, you know, when we get to studying the human spirit, that's, wow, there's some stuff there that's some tough stuff. This supernatural circuitry is the means of getting accurate, lucid doctrine or truth into the analysis center of the soul and also back into the brain for storage to build that frame of reference. Okay? Now, I've talked to some guys that over the years, and they try to put this you know, the frame of reference, the build-up of the categories and all the rest of the stuff right there in the soul. But that's not where things are stored. The brain is where the things are stored. Okay? And anyway. For the unbeliever, the Holy Spirit acts as a human spirit. This is something that's important because this is why we have to rely on the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit when you communicate the gospel to the unbeliever. He doesn't have that spiritual brainstem. He doesn't have that spiritual side. All he has is the natural root. How is he going to get a clear readout? Well, that's the Holy Spirit acts as a human spirit during his pre-salvation convicting ministry and booms the information of the gospel into the analysis center of the soul, you know, automatically at gospel hearing. So if they have a clear readout of the gospel, if you've given a clear readout. If the person is given a clear readout, they're going to get it. Okay? Now, what they do with it, it's up to them, whether they choose to believe it or reject it. But they're going to get a clear readout. Because that's what the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit is. Okay? For the believer under the filling or empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, the sin nature is neutralized. And the information goes automatically through the supernatural bypass, the human spirit. The sin nature is neutralized, and the information goes automatically through the supernatural bypass, the human spirit. See, oftentimes I've used the term, I think over the years, the communication link is shut down, and we're out of fellowship. Well, it's shut down internally, and it's shut down between us and God. Okay, when the internal is shut down, it's shut down going to God too. Okay, so you need to remember that. The use of the volition, that nasty word, to shut down the function of the ministry or empowering of the Holy Spirit is described by two words. Quench and grieve. Okay? If either of these conditions is true, then the individual is no longer walking by the Spirit. Quench, of course, is a spanoumi, one of those me conjunction verbs that I just loved. Well, anyway, we find it in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I don't know if I even put it in the notes, but anyway, should know that. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. But anyway, it means to restrain in the sense of stopping the function that's in question, that's being talked about. Okay. Now, the quenching there in that context has to do with the rejection of truth, rejection of the word. Put you out of fellowship. This reflects or stands for mechanically using the volition of the soul to restrain the rulership of the physical brainstem by God the Holy Spirit, which is what happens when we choose to reject truth, reject the will of God. Bingo. Spiritual side is shut down. Sin nature is back in rulership. In Ephesians 5:18, the believer is told not to be under the influence of alcohol to the extent of intoxication, but to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to the extent of imitation of God, from verse 1 of chapter 5. And it's a great analogy in there, often distorted, but it's a great analogy. Now, the alcohol and stuff that it's talking about in the first part of Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine for his dissipation, is a tremendous analogy to the sin nature when it's ruling and its impact and effects. Okay, alcohol and control of the body is a depressant, but it's such that a lot of people don't recognize that, and it has different effects with all different people. But it basically is a depressant, and its symptoms are staggered gait, blurred or double vision, impaired reflexes, reduced mental functions, increased pulse rate. So I had increased pulse rate the last week or two, but it wasn't from drinking. But anyway, a decrease in blood pressure, dilated pupils, flushed skin, drowsiness, and stupor. The influence of alcohol on the body is analogous spiritually to the sin nature in rulership of the life, where it dominates the thoughts, the choices, the actions. All the while, the ministry of the Spirit in the life of the believer is suppressed, shut down. Okay? Really not just distorted, it should be shut down. It's inactive when the sin nature is ruling. The result is the believer being under the influence or domination of a totally inferior way of living. But a lot of people like to live out of fellowship. for some reason. E, under intoxication, the alcohol so saturates the cells of the body that the coordination of their function is totally interrupted. This is analogous to the contamination of every cell of the body by the sin nature inherited from Adam, so that the natural function as created by God in the garden is now totally interrupted. You have to just look at Adam and Eve after the fall. Demonstrated their distorted perception of reality through their actions, their reactions to the situation. Went right off the bat, Operation Fig Leaf. Tried to hide from God. Operation Pass the Buck. You know that woman you gave me? She did it. They also distorted their knowledge of God. They distorted their understanding and knowledge of God. Demonstrating clearly sin nature rulership at that point. The antithetical option open to the believer is to be under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit, who also indwells the body. Now this is where we're to be operating. Not dominated by the sin nature, but dominated and ruled by, in fact, we'll see that rulership aspect in chapter 6 several times. Under the rulership of the Holy Spirit, the now natural trends of the contaminated body of corruption are set aside, isolated, maybe might be a better term, including those in the brainstem, which give incorrect readouts to the soul. They're isolated when it's the Holy Spirit is empowering. Now, if I say that often enough, maybe we'll catch on. What's interesting, you can't say that the cells are not converted into good use, because even though the Holy Spirit is in rulership, He will not use anything which falls into the category of human righteousness, minus R, under which all the body of corruption falls. So it's only going to use that truth that was stored when He was empowering, coming out with a clear readouts. It's all it's going to use. So if you spend, as over the years I've seen people in like in Jay's church and other churches where people come in and they sit there week after week, year after year, where the word is being taught, haven't got a clue. Have not got a clue. Not clue one. Basic stuff. And yet, most of the congregation moving along, great. So what can you say? They weren't listening with the sin nature shut down and the Holy Spirit empowering. So they were getting a clear readout. And these people weren't dumb people either. You know, in other words, they weren't non-compos mentis type people, you know. Therefore, a new spiritual apparatus, the human spirit, is given to the believer at the new birth for the specific purpose of serving as a spiritual circuitry between the old set-aside brainstem and the living soul, the real you. So they both, the natural side and the spiritual side, come into the same area of the that gray matter of the brainstem. But interesting. Okay, therefore quench or restrain means to stop this function of God the Holy Spirit by deliberate choice to sin or rejection of the will or word of God. Okay. Grieving, you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, 31, and grieving is tied to sin. Sin and the lie shuts it down. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Quenching, tied to the rejection of the will of God or the Word of God. Either way, it's talking about the same thing. In either case, the volition of the soul acts to flip the switch, if you will, in the brain computer, which turns off the ministry of the Holy Spirit and reactivates the sin nature. And of course, at that point, what we've also done is chosen to stop walking by the Spirit, say. Okay? When we've either quenched or grieved, whichever it is. There, I just got ahead of myself. This all occurs when? When we choose to stop walking by the Spirit. No big mystery there. Because remember, what's Galatians 5:17 say? If you're walking by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of that sin nature. Won't happen. They're antithetical. You can't be in both. Can't have one foot in one camp and one in the other. You're not half there. Doesn't work that way. I heard a guy on the radio here a while back trying to make that point. You know, we've all got a little bit of the good stuff in us, and we all got a little bit of the bad stuff here. It's all mixed together. Well, we all have a sin nature, and we can be just as gross as we can be. We don't have to be. The thing is, you're not both at the same time, which is the point he was trying to make. I don't even remember who it was now, but anyway, I didn't listen long. So when the believer chooses to sin, he chooses to restrain the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life. Okay? His choice. His choice. The result is the anthropopathism of grief. God, the Holy Spirit, being co-equal, co-eternal with the other members of the Trinity, and none of them have ever been unhappy, much less grieved, ever. So what's in view? Grief is the result of a broken relationship, whereas restraint describes the act of the volition to shut down the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To shut it down. Cut it off. Okay? Grieving the Holy Spirit there simply means that the living soul's relationship with the Holy Spirit is broken, severed, cut off, shut down. However you want to refer to it as. In other words, that communication link is gone. And the spiritual brainstem side of things is shut down. It's all blocked off, not operable. Okay? And the relationship of the living soul is now with the sin nature and the body of corruption only during that time frame. Okay? This supernatural circuitry includes the human spirit functioning as that spiritual brainstem, giving direct, clear, and accurate readouts of doctrine or divine viewpoint to the soul's analysis center, which the body of corruption or brain alone can never do. Through the natural system, never do it. Never happen. The brain as part of the body of corruption cannot give accurate readouts to the soul's analysis center on any subject, including doctrine. Can't do it. Do that natural loop? Cannot do it. So, and that I think was the end of it. Oh, it isn't either. This is the reason that the only accurate interpretation, even of history, economics, ethics, can be received by the believer under the rulership of the Holy Spirit. It even impacts your analysis of history and this kind of thing. It's amazing. Now, 2 plus 2 is always going to be 4. unless you're playing with a new math. And then they do all kinds of gyrations, and sometimes it's 5. I kid you not. There's explanations where they go through and they do that kind of stuff, which is garbage. You don't do math that way. But, yep, that was the end of it. Woo. I didn't think we'd get through it that quick. Okay. Took me a lot longer to write all that stuff. Now, okay, let's see how we... Yeah. Now you see what the function is here and how the flow is? You understand that at least at this point? Now we got a lot of ways to go. I mean, that's, but, because if you don't get the flow here, when we start really digging into the, we haven't really started breaking down the soul yet either, but we will. Then the human spirit, sin nature, long as things hold up. I have to go back down to the clinic on my Monday morning. It'll be an all-day deal. Do some more tests on my heart. But they think there may be some ramifications there, but they're not sure. They're looking at x-rays now. And see, you know, it looks like it's a little bigger than it used to be. And, you know. So what do you know? Anyway, do some echocardiogram and piddle around with that. No, I've had several of those before. But they're no big deal. It's just a fancy ultrasound deal. Although when they do their thing up here and they put all that gook on you, and it feels like sometimes they want to push it all the way to the back. But then all the time you're sitting there, laying there, listening to your heart go squish, 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 squish. And you go, ugh. And if you get to see the monitor, and you got the blue and the red stuff, the color of the blood coming in and out, they change colors with it, and so they can tell if there's leakage and this kind of stuff. But anyway, but so far so good. Lungs are clear anyway, and I know that also because when you got infection and you're a diabetic like I am, I'm a borderline, but I'm still a diabetic, your blood sugar goes through the roof. And I knew before, that's one of the reasons I called, was to get the appointment, because, hey, there's infection somewhere because my blood sugar's just gone crazy. It doesn't run from 105 to 120, then all of a sudden it's running 150, And something screwy. Unless you started eating ice cream and eating cherry pie and all the good stuff that you'd like to, but you don't, And I hadn't been, so that wasn't the case. So, but anyway, that's back down to normal now. So we're in good shape. So at least today it was, anyway. First day. So, okay, what else? Maybe a bad thing to do, but okay, how many bad questions we got? I screwed you up so bad already? Well, you've got to stop and think about this stuff a little bit. And if you think back to what we've been through in Galatians and Ephesians and Romans, some of this should start fitting together before too long. Hopefully. And, Yeah. You got the arrow coming out. Okay? And the efferent is the stuff coming in. And that's really the sensors coming from the various parts of the body. You stub your toe. It's going to come up one of those nerve endings, right up through there. Bingo. It's that quick. I mean, don't take long. You know, ooh, it hurts, you know. That's the efferent. That's the input. Okay, and efferent, the E, that's going out. That's where it tells you to react, do something. Okay? Move your hand, move your, you know, whatever you're doing. Protect that toe.
Set aside emotions.
Up there.
In and out.
Actually, that's a function of the soul. And we'll see that later. You see up there on the left, the emotions, up there, those two, those are kidneys. And why would I make kidneys the emotions? Not because I've only got one. See, for me, I'd have to only put one up there. But now see, the word that's used in the Hebrew for emotions is kilia, which is the kidneys. And I think, and really when you stop and think about, you know, Hebrew especially is very graphic language. And they used the emotions, the kilia. They used splachna, the guts. Because when you have some stress, some pressure, some things, it's impacted there. You feel it there. Okay? That time you get a lot of stress, what happens? You end up, gee, I gotta go to the bathroom. Yeah? So, I remember the first flight I took in NF4. I'm strapped in the back, you know, and on this ejection seat and all this stuff, and we're going up there. And the first flight, you know, and I was a civilian, but working at the test center, and the pilot, the lieutenant commander, the real character anyway, but the pattern was, anytime they took one of the engineers up the first time, they tried to make them sick. I mean, they did all kind of upside down, darn, you know, and didn't tell you. You know, they're just going along all of a sudden, you know, whatever. It was fun, actually, but put a lot of pressure on you. And after a while, you say, oh, man, maybe I need to go to the bathroom. No way. Not in that flight suit. Although I imagine there has been some. But anyway. Yeah. He ended up getting a ship, got to be a captain, and got a ship, and ended up stuck on a... on a reef in down the Caribbean on a cruise one time. Didn't go over too well. You don't put your carriers on a reef. Get them stuck. Doesn't go over too good with the higher-ups. Okay, well. But keep track of the fact that you got the two roots. Very important. Recognize that the thinking is done here, and we're going to find that what happens here programs what's here. The soul is a programmer. Okay? That's why it's, you know, and if it's being dominated by the sin nature, what's its programming? Truth? No. At best, human viewpoint stuff. At best. Now that's why we got to have over here. Got to have that spiritual root operating. All the time. Maximum amount of time. Okay? That's the issue. Maximum. Okay. Father, we're indeed grateful for the grace that you have poured out to us through Jesus Christ, the whole provision that you have made through the soul, the brain, the whole operations, but primarily the whole grace apparatus aspect of the spiritual brainstem, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, everything to make it work. Plus, you provided the spiritual gifts so that we have a teaching of the Word of God. It's available to those that desire it. Unfortunately, today in our culture, we don't see a whole dearth of it, although there are a lot of guys out there here and there that are doing the job. But the desire isn't there. The people. And therefore, it's just not going to be there. If the desire was there on the part of the flock, I think the pastors would be there to provide that teaching that they need. And we just thank you that we have that privilege of continually taking in your word, being built up, so we're prepared for the tough issues of life. And they're going to come. We see examples over and over again of these things. The test, we've studied it in James, and 1 Peter, all over. The issues related to the tough tests that we can face in life. Living after the fall because of the curse. There's all kinds of various things. Have to deal with a bum ticker and all these kind of things. It's just part of the deal. So we need to adjust to these things and look to you for the strength. You remember, you go right back to, will you trust me in these tough issues? And we just thank you for the time of fellowship together. We just pray that we would realize just how much you have provided for us in Christ. And we would lift up before you those of our family with some special needs. We would remember Caleb especially in his unique situation. We'd also remember Jackie and her back pain and the issues that she faces every day, the tough tests of life. And we just pray that you continue to provide for her, for Trina, for our friend Dee down in Houston, for Charlotte back east. We'd also pray for those that have been witnessed to. Lynn's friend there, Steve. There's many others that have had the opportunity to present the gospel to, that God the Holy Spirit could make the clear readout so that they understand what the issues are. And we just pray that you continue to provide openings and the opportunities to be able to communicate your truth. And we just thank you that for what we have here in this local assembly. And we'd also especially remember Bunny and Les. Going through a tough issue here now. And as Bunny's dementia has progressed considerably, it's making it very difficult. And we just pray that you'd provide strength for both Bunny and Les, but especially Les as he's trying to support her, minister to her, but he can only do so much, and he needs to recognize that. And it's a tough one, and it's a tough issue to face. And we just pray that you'd provide him the insight that he needs at this time. And we just are so grateful for all that we have in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.